Madagai Gimbay, Bidipi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country. And it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Miracles still happen today, and I experienced one a week ago myself, and it was only a miracle of God that I'm here doing the radio show with you this week. Because God is God, and when we overcome adversity, spiritual warfare is a real battle, and you need to understand that. When you're under constant spiritual attack, sometimes it takes a miracle from God to bring you through to the other side.
Some people want to live within the sound of chapel bells, but I want to run a mission a yard from the gates of hell. And with everyone you meet, I'll take in the gospel and share it well. And look around you as you hesitate, oh, another soul just fell. Let's run to the battle. Do you have your armor on? We're in the middle of a raging war. We've been training for so long. Have we learned to use this sword? We may not be many, but we serve a mighty Lord. And He's made us more than conquerors. So what are you waiting for? Let's run to the battle. Shine with glory, or is out just to survive. And in that final hour, when you feel like you're ready to die, will you hear the trumpet sound? Will you hear the warrior cry? Run to the battle. We got to run. Run to the battle.
Last week when I was praying, the Lord spoke to me very clearly. He said, Tony, I need you to go to Moree. I need you to go and pray for your brother. And it's urgent. It's a matter of urgency. God said you have to be there. He said, don't leave it. Don't leave it another week. Don't leave it another day. You need to go. You need to be prayed up. You need to spend time with me. Because he said, your brother, it's critical that you go pray for him by the weekend, no later than Sunday. My brother was diagnosed a few weeks back with liver cancer. And when he first went to the hospital, they couldn't tell him there was anything wrong with him. And after about 3 weeks of this, he decided to fly himself to Sydney on a commercial flight. And he went to the RPA and they booked him in. And they said, if you'd have been another day later, they'd have been burying you. His calcium levels was over 300, and that's usually a sign of cancer. And so he'd had about 2 weeks in Sydney Hospital, and I went down and I prayed for him. I remember walking in to see him. He looked like death warmed up. And I laid hands on him, I anointed him with oil, and I sat by his bed and I just prayed softly and quietly. and I asked God to heal him. I asked God to make him better, at least a recovery, and for God to heal him. I did all that, and I was there about a half an hour, and then I had to drive back home. And then I just kept praying for my brother daily, just asking the Lord to keep him, to heal him, restore him. But I said, Lord, more than his healing, I want him saved. I want his salvation, Father God. I want him to come into the kingdom. And it doesn't matter then, Lord, if he passes away with this liver cancer. One day I'll see him in glory. When the roll is called up yonder, Lord, I'll see him. But it was more important to pray for his salvation. And I'd been praying for about 2 or 3 weeks since I left Sydney. And the Lord spoke to me one day and he said, Tony, it's real urgent. You need to go. So I said, Lord, then I'm going to need you to provide the finances. And a friend of mine came to me and said, Tony, look, I'm going to give you $150 for you to go and visit your brother. You need to go now. And I took that as confirmation from the Lord. And I had $50 of my own. So I thought, that's enough to get me there and back. So I got up early in the morning and I set off. And I never take any trip, whether it's going to Woolworths, going to Coles, or going down to the post office. I never leave the house without asking God for protection when I get in the car, and always ask God for a parking place. And I always get a park wherever I want one. People think it's lucky, but it's not. I just got an angel that stands there and holds the parking place for me, and it works all the time. Try it sometime. I knew that I was in for a spiritual battle. I'd been coming under attack for a couple of weeks from witches and other people putting curses on me. Doesn't want to see God's work prosper. Doesn't want to see me get out there and do what God called me to do. And so I thought to myself, I normally pack all the CDs, something to sing along with. And, you know, I've got a tenor's voice, sounds good a 10 or 12 mile away. And I get in the car and I like to sing along with Alan Jackson and Slim Dusty, Charlie Pride and all the boys and Willie Nelson on the road again. But lately I haven't been playing any records because when I travel these days I spend time praying in the Spirit. I just ask God, what does he want me to pray for today? And today, boy, was I glad I didn't take any CDs because it was a 5-hour and 15-minute trip to Moree. You mightn't find this hard to believe, but when you pray in the Spirit, I prayed for 5 hours, 15 minutes non-stop, except long enough to take a swallow of water when my throat got a bit dry. But it's easy to pray in the Spirit because, see, the Holy Spirit does it for you. All you got to do is be a willing participant and open your mouth and let the words come out. And I knew that I was in for a battle. I prayed and I prayed. And when I got to the hospital, they spent a half an hour trying to find my brother. And then they come and tells me that he went home yesterday. So I thought, well, this is good news. This is a really good start. So then I drives to my brother's house and then he's just about to go shopping to get his medication and stuff like that. So I said, look, you go do that. I'll come back. I'll come back and pray for you. So then I had another friend who was in a caravan who was crippled that needed prayer. He wanted me to pray for a healing because he'd been waiting. He's 79 years old and he'd been waiting 12 months for a hip replacement. And he's got so desperate with the hip replacement, he decided, well, what have I got to lose? He said, I'll ask Tony to come and pray for healing, mainly because I've been sending him Christian CDs and a lot of my King's Kid stuff on CDs and been sending him DVDs about Jesus. So I think he was ready to be healed by God. So I went out there. I prayed with him, talked with him, prayed with him. I went back to town, had lunch, and then I found my brother. Then I sat my brother down and explained it to him that what I was about to do, that I was going to anoint him with oil. And I said, and I'm going to pray on my faith, not your faith, because you're not Christian, you're not saved. But I want you to understand that when I pray for you for healing, you just got to believe that God's healed you. And, you know, don't have any doubt. He said, you know what? He said, when my partner 10 years ago was in a coma in Sydney, you and your friend came and prayed for her. And even though the doctors couldn't work out what was wrong with her, he said, God healed her. He said, I'm hanging on to what God did for her. And he said, and I'm hoping your God will do the same for me. He said, I'm open to being healed. You just tell me what you want me to do. and he had sausages on the griddle on the barbecue, and I said, look, the sausages can wait. Turn them down. Take them off. We can finish cooking sausages later. It's important that I pray for you. God told me to come and lay hands on you, to anoint you with oil, and God's going to heal you. And so that's why I'm here. So I explained it to him, gave him some Bible verses on healing, and told him what God wanted to do. I anointed his forehead with oil. He sat in the chair because he was pretty weak from the chemo and with his liver cancer. And then I just laid hands on him. I prayed in English, then I spoke in the Spirit, I spoke in tongues. And I prayed for him for a while, then I stopped. Hugged him and told him that I loved him. And I was going to go visit Mum for the second time for that day at the nursing home. And then I'd be heading off because there was a huge storm coming in from the west. And you could see storm clouds all around you. So I had a 6-hour drive in the dark, in the rain. So when I got close to Yooralla, there was a huge storm. And I had to slow right down. And when I got to Walker, you couldn't see in front of you for the rain. I was hungry. There was no place to get something to eat. So I decided to press on. I rang my prayer partner who lives at Ellenborough. And she said that she would have a meal waiting for me when I got there. And so I set off and I continued to pray and worship in the Spirit, just giving God praise. And I got up under the mountain. The rain was very heavy. Couldn't see in front of you. Doing about 60, 65, 30 k's an hour around different bends. And then I caught it when I was driving into the heavy wind and the headlights shined on this rock face. First I saw what I saw was a demonic spirit. And it was running ahead of me, in front of me, in the car, in the headlights. And I've seen demonic spirits in the past, and most Aboriginal people have. And I've seen God's angels. And then I saw the spirit, and I saw an angel of the Lord alongside of the car. And as I was driving along, I kept praying in the spirit. I just felt uneasy about everything. Then I came around this turn about 70 k's from Warhope, or maybe a bit further. I wasn't really sure. It was pitch black, heavy rain. Wasn't going to pull over anywhere. And I saw it out of the corner of my eye. I saw a rock slide. It wasn't big, but it was a few rocks come tumbling down the mountain, heading towards the car. So I put my foot on it, and I tried to swerve the rocks that was already on the road. And I hit one of them, and I heard this huge bang. Front left tire just burst. And the tyre went down, and it was bucketing down rain. I left the motor running. I got out of the car. I raced around the front, saw how flat the tyre was, and knew that I had several turns to make, and I wasn't going to make it with a flat tyre. So I sat in the car, and I still was praying when I was out of the car, and I said, the Lord, what am I going to do? There's a truck coming behind me, and I know there's cars, and I can't sit here. And the Lord said to me, Tony, just drive the car. You need to get out of here or you'll be a dead man. So I just started driving. When I got to the first turn, I noticed something different about the vehicle. It wasn't heavy. It wasn't like driving on a flat tire. It just like I was driving on a cushion of pillars. And I made the first turn and the power steering seemed to be there. Everything seemed to be okay. But I wasn't going to go any faster than 60 k's because the rain was so heavy and so blinding. And then I went left and I said, gee, that tyre doesn't feel right. It just seems to be on a bed of cushions. So anyway, I kept going around the mountain, kept picking up my phone, looking for help, looking for a phone signal. And there was nothing. And I drove for about 20 kilometres. No signal, no nothing, heavy rain. And I just kept praying the whole time for the Lord to get me safe because us poor old black fellas, we don't like the dark. We don't like the heavy rain either. And I was just so scared of being in the dark and being stuck out there. And I just kept praying, Lord, just help me get to Helsey's. The more I drove on that flat tyre, I know that usually shred tyres after you drive them for about a kilometre when they're flat, and you're down to metal. And I kept looking to the car to see if the tyre was shredded, and I kept looking and hoping it wouldn't. And I just kept praying. Then I finally got a beep on my phone which said I had a single. But I didn't want to stop and I just kept trying to dial a number. And the only two numbers that I dialed 10 times that day was my friend Donna in Coffs Harbour. And I knew she was going to be out at dinner, so I thought she'll be up. I rang her and I went to the message bank. I left a message saying, please help. I'm trying to get hold of Elsie. Can you ring Elsie to get Warren to come out and help me, because I'm stuck out here in the rain. I'm still praying that I'll get to Elsie's. So I said, if you're doing nothing else, pray for me. Anyway, the phone went to the message bank and I left that message. And I didn't want to dial it again, so I tried Elsie's number and it was engaged. I tried it again and again, and then finally she answered. And because I didn't know where I was, and I didn't know how far I was from her place, the rain was beating down very heavy. And I saw a sign that said Ellenborough. Anyway, I thought I'd crossed the bridge in the heavy rain, and I saw this turn to the left, and I went down this gravel road, and it was shocking. Water was racing down the road everywhere. I couldn't brake in case I slipped off the road. And I just had to suck it up and keep praying that I'd get to the bottom okay. And when I got to the bottom, I knew that with this flat tire, I'm never going to make it back to the top. And I managed to turn the thing around, and I was still praying and asking God to help. And the Lord said, just take it up the mountain. Take it back up that steep hill. And as I was going up the hill, it just felt really weird because I had a flat front tire, and I knew it was a miracle. Whatever God was doing, it was a miracle. And then when I got back onto the main road and crossed the bridge, and I drove into Elsie, had the garage door open, and she'd moved her car out. And then when I drove in, I parked the car and I couldn't even turn the steering wheel. The tire was that flat, but it wasn't shredded. But you see, I went down a dirt road with mud and everything. Now, the three car tyres, the one that were pumped up, were covered in mud. But the car tyre that wasn't pumped up had no mud on it whatsoever. And then I said to the Lord, I said, how can that be? The Lord said, when you got in the car to drive it, he said, one angel was holding the front end up on that side. And then when you was coming back up that mountain, up that gravel road, he said, I had two angels at the back pushing it. And they helped you get to the top. He said, you know, he said, when you pray that Psalm 91 over your family every day and over yourself and over your loved ones, that's a guaranteed prayer of protection. It says in that psalm that God said he gives his angels charge over you to protect you and to look after you. On that road home, I saw a demon spirit, but I also saw three angels. And God looked after me and protected me. And when the guy came out to have a look at the car, he couldn't believe it, that the tyre wasn't damaged where I hit the rock. There was no damage to the car where I hit the rock in the middle of the road. And he couldn't believe that the tyre wasn't shredded. He said, how far did you drive in this? And I said, well, when I hit the thing, it was about 75 k's to Wauchope. And I had a fair way to go to get here. But I said, you know what? When I was driving on that last bit, it was like driving on pillars of air. I reckon I could have made it all the way to Port Macquarie, but I reckon them angels would have been a bit tired by the time I got there. I went inside, I rang my son. He had a few drinks at a party and he said, Dad, I'll come out and change the tyre for you, because I couldn't do it. And then this guy came out, we got the tyre off, and I rang my son. I said, stay at the party, don't bother coming. I said, God's good, we got the tyre off. And then when I looked at the tyre in the daylight, it had burst in about 10 different places around the side, not on the top of the tyre. But you couldn't even see on the top of the tyre where it was damaged. It wasn't even damaged from the 30-odd K drive. And the tyre, you know, it was a miracle. I went inside with Elsie. We had pumpkin soup and some garlic bread. And then, it took me 2 hours to get over the shock and the miracle what God did to save me. And there's no other way to look at it. Warren said it was a miracle because the tyre wasn't shredded. Elsie believed it was a miracle because once I went down that gravel road, there was no way in the world I was coming back up with a flat tyre. You see, God was in control because I put my trust and my faith in my God to deliver me, no matter what the Satan throws at me, no matter what curses are put on my life by other people. I put my trust in God. And you have to put your trust in God. I got home. I made it home safely. And on the Monday, my daughter wanted me to take her to Sydney. And she said, Dad, I said, I don't have any spare tyre. And the same night, see, Satan attacked my family. My wife had problem with her car. my daughter's car had problems, and then she wanted me to drive her to Sydney. And I threw the tyre in the car, and I said, I'm going to take it back to where I bought it. And the bloke at the place where I bought it on the Central Coast, he knows I'm a pastor. He knows I'm a man of God. He knows I'm a man of faith. And I asked him to have a look at the tyre. I said, I hit a rock, but this would burst on the side. It didn't do any damage. And he said, Tony, how far did you drive the car? I said, 30, 35 Ks. And he said, but there's no damage to the part of, well, underneath your car. I said, it's a miracle. I said, God protected me and God looked after me. Well, he said, you know what? I've got another tyre there, he said, that'll fit your car. Anyway, so he fitted it, took the spare off, and then I went in to pay him the money. He said, no, brother, he said, this is on the house. He said, God protected you. He said, and I'm not about to take money off you. So, you know, he blessed me, and he blessed me that I didn't have to pay for the tyre. But, you know, God is so good, and today I really want you to understand that. I can put my trust in God, not only for safe driving, not only for miracles when I need them, but I can trust God to pay my bills. I can trust God on a day-to-day basis. And I can trust God in everything that I do. Because you know what? Man will always let you down, but God will never let you down.
He didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim, to let us drown. He didn't build his home in us to move away. He didn't lift us up to let us down. There are some promises in a written a long, long time ago. They're not getting older, they're getting better. Because he still wants us to know. He didn't bring us this far. Just to swim.
We talked about it on the program before. Psalm 91 is a prayer of protection for you and your family. And you need to read it every day and pray it as a prayer. And then I always pray Ephesians 6 from verse 10 to 18, because we need to be in protection, because we're in a spiritual battle. You know, we're out there and you're in the front lines, or even if you're not on the front lines and you're just a new Christian. You know, don't give the devil a chance to kick your head in all day. Pray and ask God in the morning for help. Pray and ask God to protect you and your loved ones and your family. And make sure that God's in control of your life all the time, not when you're in trouble. You see, years ago, I would have just said, "She'll be right, mate." I would have got in that car, me and Slim Dusty and Willie Nelson on the road again, and I would have went in of a full panic when that thing burst in the middle of the road in the middle of the dark and heavy rain. Hey, this black fella, I might be saved, I might be born again, I might be a man of God, but I still have a little bit about the dark. There's something about the dark in us black fellas that we're not sure about it. What we can't see, it worries us. But you know what? God said to me, "Tony, I will protect you. Doesn't matter how dark it is. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll always be with you."
You have my heart, and I am yours forever. You are my strength, God of grace and power. Everything you hold in your hand, still you make time for me. I can't understand. Praise you, God of earth and sky. How beautiful is your unfailing love, unfailing love. And you never change, God, you remain. Holy One, my unfailing love, unfailing love. You are my rock, the one I hold on to. You are my song, and I sing for you. And your unfailing love, unfailing love. And you never change, God, you remain the Holy One. And my unfailing love, unfailing love. And everything you hold in your hand, still you make time.
Can't understand. Still,
I praise you, God of earth and sky. How beautiful is your unfailing love, unfailing love. And you never change, God. You remain the Holy One. And my unfailing love, unfailing love. Your unfailing love, unfailing love,
unfailing.
And you never change, God, you remain the Holy One. And my unfailing love, unfailing love, unfailing love, unfailing love.
I'm Heidi, and you've been listening to evangelist Tony Dennison on King's Kids. You can visit our website on kingskidsministries.org, where you'll find copies of this episode available for download. And if you'd like to talk to Tony, you can ring him on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. Thanks for being with us this week, and we look forward to meeting with you again at the same time next week. King's Kids is produced in the studios of Rema FM, Port Macquarie.